Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ.
So verse 6, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but, and then he tells us what to do, and if we do it, then the result is, verse 7, the peace of God will guard your hearts. That's the goal. That's the goal. The opposite of sinful anxiety is not apathy or numbness. It's peace. It's the peace of God. The peace of God will protect your heart from harm. It'll guard your heart and your mind. Take a look at the end of verse 5. The Lord is near. The Lord is near, so don't be anxious about anything. The peace is going to come to you from the nearness of the Lord. The solution to runaway anxiety doesn't come from psychological techniques or coping mechanisms. It's not about chemicals. It's not about psychology. It's none other than the very peace of God that comes from the presence of God. And we need to rip our mentality away from this culture and think biblically about this. And this is so much better than numbing your emotions, so much better than the dial tone of indifference in the heart. God's peace that surpasses understanding comes from His nearness, and that's the goal. Now, how do we reach that goal? How do you go from being anxious and worried and fretting and having anxiety attacks and lying awake at night in bed and tense muscles and runaway thoughts are out of control and all that? How do you go from that to having the peace of God just take care of your heart? Paul's going to teach us three things that if you do them, you're going to have this peace. And it'll work, again, on every kind of anxiety. The most obvious one is prayer, and you don't really have to be a scholar to see that in verse 6, right? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I mean, the whole verse is about prayer, right? Probably nobody's fallen out of their seat and like, where did he see that in that verse? It's pretty clear there, right? Whole verse is about prayer. That's number one. Let me just put an image in your mind here, if I could. Just think about a tank of water and each stressor in your life. So think about the stressors in your life, the things that are just activating stress in your heart. Each one of them is like a little rubber ball in that tank of water. And so your tax bill ends up being way more than you expected, and you don't have the money budget. Okay, that's one ball, and you say, okay, I can handle this, I can handle it. And you take that ball, and you hold it down in the water. Somebody comes and asks you, would you do this new ministry at church? And you're just like, oh, that'd be a lot. Okay, I'll do it, and I think I can handle it. And you don't want to say no, so you agree to it, and that's another ball. You grip that, and you're holding that down in the water. And then there's another problem, and another one, and another one, another one. And you're frantically trying to hold them all down, and you're out there, you're working hard, you're taking care of your responsibilities, you're doing what you got to do. The energy that's coming from the anxiety from those things is propelling you to take care of business and do what you need to do. That's great. But when you're in a position where you're not able to take action, it's not time to take action, then what Scripture teaches us to do in that case is just let go of those balls. Just, they want to bob up to the surface. Let them. Let it go and let them bubble up to God in prayer. God wants us to offload our burdens onto Him on a regular basis. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares onto Him because He cares for you. Your anxieties, throw them onto the Lord. Now, when I told you that this is going to work for all your anxieties and this is going to solve your anxiety problem and all this stuff, and you maybe got all excited and thought, oh, good, I'm finally going to learn how to solve anxiety. And then you get your hopes all up, and then I just say, oh, it's prayer. It's like, oh, that. Yeah, of course, prayer. I knew that. I tried that. Goes without saying, prayer, right? Well, I don't know. Does it go without saying? Because I mean, we all throw up little sentence prayers all the time. God, please let this work out. Don't let me get laid off. Don't let it be cancer. Help my marriage, please. There's nothing wrong with sentence prayers. It's fine. You can throw those up. But I don't think that's what Paul's talking about here when he describes this prayer, and I'll show you why. We need to not only pray, but we need to pray with the principles in this passage. You've got to pray this way. And if you pray the wrong way about your anxieties, it can actually make your anxieties worse. It can make them worse. You start talking to God about all your troubles and all your fears and everything, and when you're done, you can be more upset than you were to begin with if you pray the wrong way. So we need to not just pray the right way. So let's see what we can learn from the passage. And the first thing I want to point out, when I first started studying verse 6, the biggest question in my mind that I couldn't answer for the longest time and I was really struggling with was this. Why so many words to describe one simple basic idea? Why doesn't he just say, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray? Why use four different terms to describe praying? Usually when a writer uses a whole lot of words to say something that would normally be just said in one or two words, typically it's for the sake of emphasis, right? That's true. That was true in their culture. It's true in our culture. If I want to let you know that it's raining outside and I just say, it was raining. Okay. It was raining. Three words. Communicates the idea. Perfectly clear, right? But what if I use a bunch more words? It was just raining and pouring and it was dumping down out of the sky all over everywhere. There was just rain. I'm talking about rain. Rain. You know, what's the difference? I'm saying the exact same thing, right? It was raining. But what happens when I put in all those extra words? It makes it emphatic. It's like I'm trying to really impress on you that it was raining hard. It wasn't just any rain. And I think that's what Paul's doing here. By throwing all these extra words, he's making it emphatic. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request. Prayer, that's talking to God. Petition, that's asking God for stuff. Requests, that's the stuff that you're asking God for in your petitions. Thanksgiving, that's another aspect of prayer. All these words to say one thing, prayer. And then he adds the phrase, in everything. That also adds emphasis. And then, another thing, that phrase, present your requests to God, literally it's let your requests be made known to God. And I was puzzled about that too. I was like, why does he say that? Why didn't he just say, tell God? Why let it be made known to God? Why the passive tense? And I found that's just another emphatic way of speaking. I looked up all the times I could find in the Bible where instead of just saying, I told you, they say, I let it be made known to you, or I made it known to you. They put it that way. It's always because they're just trying to really be emphatic. They're just emphasizing it. So I'm not just telling you, I'm taking you by the lapel and I'm letting you know. Right? That's the idea. So the point of all that is this. When you have anxiety, the number one principle for getting from an anxious, worried heart to the peace of God guarding your heart is not just to pray, but to pray hard. Okay? I think that's what he's saying. Don't just mention your request to God. Grab hold of God and make them known to God. Be passionate. Be persistent in your prayer. Be energetic and earnest and fervent in your prayer. Pray hard. When you have anxiety, just drop to your knees and pray your face off. Right? I think that's what he's saying. So you have all this anxiety, and you got the sentence prayers going up, you know, all day, but ask yourself, when was the last time, I mean, your anxieties, the thing that's really getting to you right now, when was the last time you prayed explicitly and at length over each one of the things that are currently stressing you out? I mean, really prayed. Our lives get so busy and so rushed, we begrudge a 3-minute prayer time and then we wonder where God is. Right? Question isn't, where's God? He's right there in your prayer closet. The question is, where are you? Right? Now, what I just said, I realize that comes across in a lot of cases as a burdensome thing. You might be thinking, pray hard. Yeah, I mean, all my whole Christian life, I've been trying to get a handle on that. I've been trying to get myself to get serious about prayer. I just can't seem to do it with any consistency. It's like, you know, working out or dieting. I keep starting it and then it just doesn't go anywhere. And that's the one area of the Christian life. I just keep getting shot down every single time. Prayer life. And we read about Jesus getting up before the sunrise and going off someplace and praying long periods, praying all night. And it just seems like something, man, I'm never going to be there. I don't know if I can do that. And if you feel that way, you're not alone in that. We're all like that. Prayer is hard. It's really hard. Praying hard is even harder. It takes a huge amount of mental energy And so we struggle with it. We don't get to it because we just don't have the emotional energy. Where are we going to get some more emotional energy? Where does emotional energy come from? I mean, look in the passage. Tell me, where has it come from? Anxiety. Right? It's in the anxiety. Remember, that's the whole purpose of anxiety. Anxiety is energy. Use the emotional energy produced by your anxiety to enable you to really pray earnestly. See, we always read half of this. We read this verse and we think, oh, Paul is saying that I should pray in order to get rid of my anxiety, which is fine. That's great. Go ahead and do that. Nothing wrong with praying to get rid of anxiety, but that's only half of what he's saying. I really think it's not just pray hard to get rid of anxiety, but use your anxiety to pray hard. When you don't have any anxiety in your heart, you can try to pray hard. It's just not the same. The earnestness just isn't going to be there the same. This is how God designed the human soul. We need anxiety to drive us to prayer. And you see it again and again in Scripture. David or a prophet or the people of Israel or somebody, they're going to have great suffering, and then that makes them really cry out in earnest prayer, and then God answers. Right? Did you know that's even true of Jesus? Luke 22:44. It says, "And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly." Being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. Let's go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, why didn't you pray more earnestly to begin with? What's wrong with your prayer life, Jesus?" And I think what he'd say is the human soul, even a perfect, sinless human soul in this fallen condition, needs anxiety to stimulate the most passionate kind of prayer. That's God's design. And so in James 5:13, he says, remember, is any one of you in trouble? Let him pray. Let him pray. Don't waste that adrenaline. Use it to get you to really pray, because you're never going to be able to pray that hard any other time. Zechariah 13:8 is an interesting passage. Zechariah 13, verse 8, says, "In the whole land, declares the Lord, two-thirds will be struck down and perish, yet one-third will be left." So he's going to wipe out two-thirds, and he's going to have this third, that's the remnant he's going to save. "This third I will bring into the fire." So two-thirds, I'm going to wipe them out. The other third, I'm going to put them in the fire. "I will refine them like silver and test them like gold, and they will call on my name and I will answer them." Okay, the godly remnant, the elect, God's people, saves them from judgment, throws them in the fire so that they'll pray. And then he responds to their prayer. John Calvin commented on that passage in his commentary. He said this, "It is therefore necessary that we should be subject from first to last to the scourges of God in order that we may from the heart call on him. For our hearts are enfeebled by prosperity so that we cannot make the effort to pray. Hence the discipline is necessary so that the earnestness of prayer may become vigorous in us." Prosperity, good times, comfort, it just enfeebles the heart. It makes us so we can barely pray. But if you have anxiety, harness the energy of that anxiety. Don't let it go to waste. Use it so you can finally pray hard. And this will be, you know, because let's face it, when you don't have the anxiety, how hard is it? You go watch the movie War Room. And you get all motivated and think, okay, all right, this time I am going to pray. I'm setting up my prayer closet. I'm going to cry out to God. And you get your prayer room or your area all set up. And I'm going to be just like the lady in the movie. I'm probably going to lose track of time and pray all night. I can just see it. And you go in there and you got your Bible and your notepad. And 3 minutes in, there's a lot of dust on those blinds. I mean, that's all it takes, right? Our greatest resolve to pray, like there's no tomorrow, and then the slightest distraction is all it takes. Like, it's driving me crazy. I just get up, just quick dust them, and just get that off of there. And if you don't have any great anxiety in your heart, then all it'll take is a little bit of dust on the blinds, and you're not going to be able to pray. But in those times when your heart is just exploding with some overpowering anxiety, some distraction, your mind is going a million miles an hour, you can, in those times, pour out your soul in prayer, and you don't care at all about dust on blinds. You don't care about this. You're not curious about this email that just came in. You're not interested in what's on Facebook or the news headlines or checking the stock market. You're banging on the door of heaven with urgency because this matters to you so much. That's what anxiety is supposed to do. That's what it's for. It's to enable you to just pray your face off. I pray every day for anxiety. Every day, that's how I start my prayers. God, ignite my heart about something. I'm flatlining here. I'm dial tone right now. My life is just kind of, you know, there's nothing big right now. This is when there's nothing big. When there's something big, I don't have to ask him that. But when there's nothing big, and it's like, God, what do you want? What is your will? Light up my heart with that. Make me just really worked up about that so that I can pray. When you really care a lot about something and that thing goes bad or is threatened, it'll generate energy in your emotions. It generates internal pressure. This is how anxiety works. Think about that pressure, that internal pressure, as being like a fire hose. Okay? Picture this. When people have sinful anxiety, they get the bowling alley kind of anxiety, if I can mix some metaphors here, and it's just staying in your system, ongoing. You get anxiety all the time inside you. What's happening there? What's happening there is it's like a fire hose that's been dropped, and it's just whipping around inside your heart in all directions. This is fire hose. You've seen a hose do that, right? Just whipping everywhere. And if you could somehow look inside that person's heart, you would see their emotions just shooting off in all directions, randomly accomplishing nothing. Just getting the hole inside of their heart all soaked, right? That's it. Either that, or other people, they try to pinch it off so that the pressure just keeps on building. But all that does is put strain on the hose. Let me ask you this. What's the purpose of a fire hose? It's to put out fires, right? Yeah. God gave us the energy of anxiety for a reason. So when you have anxiety, take the pressure. And the greater the pressure, the better. And when you're in the right position at the right time, point that thing at the fire, open the valve, and use that pressure to put out the fire. Anxiety is designed by God to give us energy that we need to take action to solve a problem. This is the way God operates throughout history. How does God do great things? First, He puts it in someone's heart and just burdens them with it until they cry out in prayer, and then God does it. This is the give me Scotland or I die kind of anxiety. It's the way God does great things throughout history. So anxiety is to put out fires. It's to get you to take action, right? It's to give you the energy to take action. Once you've taken action, then you can have the peace. But here's what we need to know. You haven't taken action until you've really prayed. Okay? So even if you've used the emotional energy of anxiety to go ahead and make that hard phone call, or do your taxes, or take care of this, do that, whatever, and you've used the anxiety, the spiritual adrenaline to take those actions, you still haven't taken enough action until you've really prayed hard. That's the most important action. That's what's going to send that bowling ball heading right down the lane to the target. That's what's going to put the fire out. That's what solves big problems. It's earnest prayer, because God's the only one who has the power to deal with these problems. If you have your normal daily prayer routine and it's handling your anxiety, then great. If you're having your normal daily prayer routine and the anxiety is still there, that's your spirit saying, okay, this is calling for something special, some special prayer. This is a situation where I need to step out of my normal daily routine of prayer and go off somewhere and with prayer and petition and thanksgiving, grabble to God, make my request known to Him in everything. You can't do that every day. I mean, we've got to work jobs, we've got to take every response. You can't do it every day. And Jesus didn't do it every day. But on those days when your normal daily prayer routine isn't cutting it, and anxiety is staying in your bloodstream, that's when you need to do it. You need to pray hard. Okay, so the godliness training for today is probably something you could have guessed. Prayer. Begin and end each day using the energy of your anxieties to power intensive prayer. Of course, you want to be praying all through the day, but especially first thing when you wake up, and right before you go to bed, use whatever it is you're worked up about, whatever's got you anxious, Cry out to God. Use that energy. Take advantage of it. And then lay that at God's feet and entrust him with it. And then add one more verse in our Matthew 6 memorization. This one's really short. Verse 27. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Now, I'm going to explain later in later podcasts that a better translation is probably, who of you by worrying can add a single cubit to his height? So you can memorize it either way. You could do the NIV, hour, or the literal translation, cubit, or use your favorite translation, but just make sure you add verse 27. So 4 or 5 times today, review Matthew 6, 25 through 27. And in tomorrow's podcast, we'll cover some very practical, specific ideas on how to go about improving your prayer life, especially in your prayers over things that cause anxiety.
Thank you for listening. We pray these principles from the Word of God are helping you find the peace of God as you draw nearer to the God of peace. Maybe there's someone in your network who would enjoy these podcasts. You never know how posting a link on Facebook might change someone's day or their whole life. Please remember to pray for this ministry, and remember that we're a crowd-funded ministry, so every gift helps. Just go to treasuringgod.com. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.